This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Man, God's word's powerful, isn't it? Have you guys realized that? How many guys have realized God's word's powerful? Huh? Man, powerful. The Bible says it's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Matter of fact, not just is it alive, it's life-giving. The Bible says it's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Say this after me. God, I thank you. Your word's life to me and health to all my flesh. In the name of Jesus, God, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. There's salvation on my lips. There's healing in my hands. God, I thank you now. Your hands are my life, indelibly, forever. Nothing snatches me out of your hand. And God, I thank you that in me, you bless all the families of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord another hand, will you? Hey, really good music today too, wasn't it? Wasn't that good? Man, I appreciate those guys that service up there. You know, we create, and speaking of that, a lot of, and you'll think, okay, what goes into the services? What goes into service prep? And there's a lot of time and effort by a lot of people that kind of put this, and I'll tell you why, because we create the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit operates in. You know, I'll just tell you, in this service, there's times we read the word. How many of you guys read the word on your own? We read the word, we speak the word, we hear the word, and then there's times where we sit under the preaching of the word. And that's why these times are so invaluable. You know, we come together as church, and man, we take notes, and it isn't just somebody preaching at us. It's that we're submitting ourselves, okay? We're seated in a place where the word is spoken over our life, and it's pivotal. Man, and don't take that for granted. Don't look at it and go, well, you know, going to church isn't that big a deal. It's a huge deal. You have to be in the word on your own. You have to read it. You have to think about it, meditate upon it. You've got to speak it. You got to talk to people about it, have a relationship with people where the word's centered. But then you have those times where you sit under the teaching and the preaching of the word. And the Bible says this, that in those times that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word, in times where you just sit under the word. And I'm believing for that for you today. And here's how it works, that we create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate. And there's a lot of places of our lives, maybe places you go, hopefully not your home or your vehicle or those staple places of our lives. We have to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in. We really do. It's not just for the church house. It's not just for these settings. And the same lengths that we go to create an atmosphere here, man, you need to in your home and in your daily life and in your walk. Create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to operate in. And we do that, listen, by having the right attitude toward God's word and God's worship and thinking and meditating upon him and making sure that it's always in front of us. And that's how we create an atmosphere for this to happen. And Sandy and I, really, when we begin to gush about the church, when we start talking about Gutch Church, we just start gushing with people. I mean, the dynamics are so amazing. Man, everywhere I look, it's just amazing people doing amazing thing for an amazing God, and we're become co-laborers in his field. And what's interesting about this is that this is an extension of our home. Man, the same peace you experience here, we want you to experience in your home. The same prosperity that you have here, where it's like, I'm undefeatable. I'm indefatigable. I'm not gonna give up. Do you understand, as believers in Jesus, any believers in here? Anybody watching on the internet or in Skytook right now, that you're believers in Jesus? Let me see your hands. Man, you're a true believer, man. You're in. You'll never be out. Well, listen, losing's out of the equation now. Okay? It's not win or lose. Remember, you grew up and you'd say, man, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. I played Little League football and that's what the coach would say to us. I'd be like, what is he talking about? A bear's gonna get us? This is nuts. I'm not sure this helmet's good enough. But it's not, that's not in the word. Sometimes the bear gets you and something. Here's what the word is. The word is, but thanks be to God who always, everybody say always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. We always win. High five somebody. Come on, give it to him. That's the pop I like to hear. Right there. Come on, a little sting. We go, oh, come on. Now listen, we win because God's word promises. And we win every day. And that's got to be just a staple. But listen, we create an atmosphere for that win. You know, Pastor Sandy and I had the privilege. We went up and celebrated 25 years of ministry at St. Louis Family Church, Chesterfield, Missouri, with Jeff and Patsy Perry, who are some of our dearest friends and just like family to us, their children and them. I've known Pastor Jeff for 34 years, and one of the best friends I have in ministry and in my new life in Christ. As a matter of fact, he kind of just opened the door for a new kind of friendship for me when I gave my life to the Lord. But we were up there, and Reinhard Bonnke spoke, and it was just amazing. And I just thought about it. I thought, you know, he was an abstract communicator. He preached one message, and it was David and Nehemiah and Jonah and Moses and Jesus and Paul and Timothy. I mean, it was just one message. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can this guy do this? But here's how it happened. He's been with Jesus. Here's a man that since 19, he said this. He said, Pastor Bill, since he's German guy, okay, thick German guy. I mean, how many of you guys know thick German folk? I mean, he's like German guy, okay? But God gave him a heart for Africa. And he said since 1986, there have been 75 million documented salvations in his ministry in Africa. It's like, that's 75 million. And then he said this, and then he looks at me and he goes, and who knows before 1986? Because he'd been there since the 70s. He said, we weren't even counting before then. And he talks about presidents of nations and crusades where every citizen was there, and just amazing, amazing things. But you understand, man, the life that God has for us, we have to prepare a place for him. We have to give him his place. That's why a central theme of this Christianity is we give our lives to Jesus. We orate it. We have to verbalize it. We have to say, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And when that happens, man, the blood of Jesus, the cleansing blood of Jesus, listen, washes us clean of sin and washes us so thoroughly that it remits our sin like it never happened. That's what God's word promises. Man, I've got a word for you today, and I'm going to begin to preach it in about 10 minutes, but I got a preview for you. I mean, I was reading the word yesterday, and I just want to read it again with my people, with my friends. So turn your Bibles to Colossians 1. Don't you love the word? Man, let's get into it, and let's change everything. Everybody say, let's change everything. And I'll tell you why. Here's what's interesting. The Lord's been doing in my life is that your latter days will be greater than your former. Man, I'll tell you, I didn't get what I deserved. Man, I'm just telling you, you look from these peepers right, these eyes right here, man, I didn't get what I deserved. I got more than I could ever imagine. More than I could ever imagine is what God's given me. But guess what? The best is yet to come. It hasn't gotten best yet. My latter days will be greater than my former, and so are yours. Our latter days will be greater than our former days. And listen to this in Colossians 1, and I'm gonna start in verse 9. And listen, don't raise your hands. I'm gonna ask you a question. Don't get all churchy and raise your hands, okay? Do not raise your hand. Is that clear? Okay, how many of you guys deal with depression? Now, listen, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, because why give any place to the enemy? Why acknowledge the enemy's on top of you anyway? Because that's all depression is. The enemy just gets on top of you, sits on your head. And we're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, period, okay? That's our confession of faith. But listen, it's not something like there's sometimes where it's like, shoot, like something will happen and I'll just, it'll just go bam for me like that. And I'll be like, shoot, it doesn't. But for other people, it just kind of ramps. I think that's what clinical depression is, where it just kind of slowly ramps to a depth, and you get to a place where you're like, what's up? I'm just depressed. Can't even lift my arms now. It's just so depressing. And it kind of gets like that. Well, listen, when that starts coming on you, go to your Bible, to Colossians, the first chapter, and begin reading at verse 9. I'm just telling you, the word's sharper. The word's more powerful. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, don't cease to pray for you and to ask. And here's what I've asked. I was praying and I was in the word yesterday. And here's what I ask, that you, and I'm talking about you guys here, that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may be filled with the knowledge of God, with all of it, okay? With spiritual understanding, not just understanding of connecting the dots in 2 + 2, but spiritual understanding. That you see that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in heavenly places. Spiritual understanding. Now listen, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might. There's another verse that says, strengthened with might in the inner man, but strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Not in your strength, not your volition, but all might according to God's glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We don't have to qualify ourselves. We're not looking for some man to qualify us, but God's qualified us, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Okay, it's fixing to get incredible here for you. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power, not just from darkness, but from the power of darkness and conveyed us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom, his way of doing things, of the Son of his love. Okay, when I think about that, I think about a huge, like a contractor would use that's building huge buildings or moving huge objects, and they get this huge conveyor. And he's conveyed us with his mighty hand. He conveys us by his word, by his promise. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Man, some of you guys in here that had an affinity toward liquor and you couldn't quit drinking, and then you did, and man, you go to meetings and you recognize that you're an alcoholic, and it's a disease, and it's like, well, wait a second. Hold it. This says here you're delivered from the power of that. And you'll go, well, but I got steps I got to go through. Well, go through them. I just know there was a step. It was Jesus doing this. Here's the step, okay? And he's conveyed us to his way of doing it, to the kingdom. This is awesome stuff, okay? I'm fixing to get to the message. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, oh. It just puts joy. It puts happiness in my life. My sins, my enormous weight of burden from sin, I've been forgiven. I'm a free man. Redemption through his blood. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And hold it, and you know what? As I was reading this yesterday, it hit me, that's what's in us. The preeminence is in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yeah, you're looking at a chipped up, marred up pot of clay who carries a treasure. Man, your natural eyes can't see the treasure that's on the inside. But you know what? Man, that's what's born of God. That's what causes us to prevail no matter what. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his word. It's all about his promise. It's all about his life, the fullness. It's all about it dwelling in us through Jesus. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or in heaven, or the things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, it consumed your mind. You were aliens and enemies by wicked words, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless. Oh, this is crazy talk. He's done a work in our lives. Listen, that he presents us now. I present to you Taylor Shear. I present to you Gibwin. He presents us, listen, as holy, as blameless, above reproach in his sight, and he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Man, I was reading that, and I'm thinking, man, I got to tell somebody. And then I got to start my message. He presents us. We're witnesses of the life of God. We're witnesses of the victory of Jesus. Everybody say, I have witnessed the victory of the cross and resurrection of my Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, there's times that, man, I don't mind people. There's a lot of language I give people a pass for. I don't let them. I don't like giving a pass when people use the name of the Lord in vain. It just bothers me sometimes. It's like, you're not gonna like that. I'm gonna wash your mouth out with soap. Use the name of the Lord in vain again. That's my Jesus you're talking about here. I'm not gonna let somebody talk about my girl. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna end up poorly if you start talking about my girl. Why would I let you talk about my Jesus? Because God presents me. Here I am. I'm sucking it in. Forgiven. Man, I got a word for you today. It's going to change your life. Holy, blameless, above reproach. Let's up the awkward in here today. You guys want to? I'm the king of awkward. Okay, turn to somebody and say, I'm holy. Go ahead. Now, how many of you guys had somebody that said that to you? That's awkward. You're looking at them going, you have breath that would knock a buzzard off of you. Why don't you turn to somebody else, tell them how holy you are, dog? Get you a mint. You know it's true. If indeed you continue in the faith, ground it. If indeed you continue, we conquer by continuing. No, I'm under attack. Continue. Oh, the devil hit me hard. Continue. Okay, here's what it says. Listen, if indeed you continue in the faith, in trust, grounded and steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I love that verse too. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. This is pivotal. Man, the devil tries to hit and hit and hit to move you away from your trust to God. Man, Reinhard Bonnke sitting across the table from me Friday night at dinner, and he looks over at me and Sandy, he says, I don't sympathize with anybody in their doubt. Me neither, I promise. I would never do that. See, we look at this and we're steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, grounded and steadfast and aren't moved away from this hope. Get the message from last Sunday. It all ties in. What you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You know, it hit me so much of the word. Man, I look at the word. Turn your Bibles to John 8. And there's this scenario where this woman, and in my heart, I picture her as small in stature. I picture her as somebody that could be pushed around. And she was caught in the act of adultery. Okay? I don't know. In the culture that we're talking about here from the Word a couple thousand years ago, I don't know anything that could be more shameful on a woman. I don't know anything that could be, she wasn't caught in the rumor of it. She was caught in the act of it. And these men bring her. Notice they didn't bring the man. You know why? They're cowards. They're religious cowards. Okay? Let me just... I have a difficult time with cowards. But they bring this woman. In my heart, I see her as small in stature. They throw her into the temple and said, look, we caught her in the act of adultery. What should we do with her? Testing Jesus. Jesus knew what was up, and he knew where they, man, here he is, and man, he had this discernment just flowed in his life, and you know what, he started kind of just writing on the dirt, and it's funny because I know that there's commentaries and theologians have written about what Jesus was writing, and people have done great study and have thorough speculation, and I don't care what he was writing. I think what he was doing was he wasn't paying any never mind to these cowards. And they came and they said, what should we do? He said, well, the law of Moses, you should be stoned. They said, that's right. You're right. See, you're right. They thought that they were going to be able to trap him in that. And he said, here's what we're going to do. As he's writing in the dirt, and you know, there's some theologians that'll say, because it was a Sabbath, you couldn't write on the Sabbath unless you're writing with your finger in the dirt, then you could. So that's what he was doing. And it's like, okay, next, what else is next? Well, and then I thought, I heard one time that he was writing the names of men who were bringing her in that had been with her already. And he was writing, and I kind of like that one just because it was, but I don't see Jesus doing that, okay? So then there's another, like, and somebody said they wrote the ichthus or whatever, the fish signal. I'm like, no, those bug me. I know Jesus wouldn't do that. No offense to window stickers and bumper stickers. He's writing on the dirt. I had some other things to say. Did you know what I love the bun too. Don't. But he's writing on the dirt. And he said, but here's what we're going to do. Don't even look up at these guys. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And he's goes back to writing. Then he looks up, and that's what we're going to start here. In John 8, verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, pivotal, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? He gave her that. It's like that they were like a possession of her. Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? See, he went from accusers to condemned. Do you see there? It's not magic. It's purposeful. He went and he said, and she said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus said to everybody, I'm the light of the world. You need to get this. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I start thinking of one of the most powerful words in the Word, and it's the word go. And I thought of times for me in my life that really hit me. Moses struggling with being the deliverer of the children of Israel by the hand of God in his life was trying to talk God out of him being the nominee. He brought his brother, other more capable people. And I've used this verse many times before. I've gotten up and thought, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to these people? Or when I'm in a situation where I know that something's going to be confronted, and I'm like, I want to have the right answer. And you start preparing for every scenario, and you can't. And you don't have that natural confidence that you need to have in the situation that you're in. And here's what God spoke in Exodus 4:12. God spoke to Moses. He said, therefore, go, and I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what to say. He said, go, and it's such a powerful. And then we look at Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th verse, and man, Jesus, man, I love this. It's a staple of this church. Man, go into every man's world. Go, and he said, and preach the gospel to every creature. Man, don't look at their faces. Don't just go to your kind. You know, we started this church as a church for young people. Man, nobody was really reaching young people at that time in the church. And I just thought, well, with my limited abilities, I could be a part of this. And man, Sandy and I had an affinity toward preaching and ministering to teenagers and young people, and we were good at it. And I thought, okay, this is something we can do and kind of slip one by the goalie of ministry and kind of be a part of the club. And the next thing you knew, man, young people are coming in. Man, some of them are family people in this church now 20 years later. But man, and then their parents started coming, and then grandparents started coming, and then older people started coming, and then other people. Then we put up, when somebody had this idea to put up motorcycle parking in front of our church, and then bikers start coming in, and it's all these people. And then next thing you know, Sandy, just at one time we're praying about the church, she started praying for diversity. And I'm looking at it, I thought, oh, that sounds good. So I started praying for diversity. Next thing you know, it's every kind of person imaginable. I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, how to go into every man's world. God, we're going into every man's world. We're reaching everybody. We might not have the whole pie, but we don't just have a slice of it. We've got like a scoop of every piece of the pie in this church. And I love that part of it. And what Jesus said, he said, go into all the world. Such a powerful, go and I'll be with your mouth. Go and be in all the, man, all that, man, it just pumps me and I'm inflated spiritually. It's just incredible. And then I see this in John 8. When Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, go. And I'll just tell you, it's the most powerful use of the word go I have ever seen. I love Exodus 4:12. I love Mark 16:15. But I have never experienced anything more powerful personally in my life of the use of the word go than this one. Because it fits me. Neither do I condemn you. Go. This is freedom. That's what it is. Freedom. He said, go. Don't sin anymore. Don't. You know what he's saying to this adulterous woman? Don't sell yourself short anymore. I mean, in so many words, she's got to be thinking, I'm something special now. You know the word, you know what the word calls you? God knows your freckles and your scars and your bald spots, your flab and your cellulite and your limp. I'm sucking in right now. Don't be dogging me. But listen, he loves you above all. That's the central point here. That's where our freedom comes. God's for us. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know this. We've heard it a kajillion times. But today, there's gonna be a little wrinkle thrown at you that's gonna change your life. The Bible in verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone, that includes you, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, now all things are of God. Now all things are of God. It's a new day. It's a beginning for you. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen, I'm gonna go teacher on you here. I'm gonna go coach on you here just for a little bit. And I'm gonna break this down into specific points from these two verses, and it's gonna build to something that I believe could launch the next faith, that could launch those latter days of your life that are gonna be better than the former days. Man, it's good. I'm just telling you, I didn't get what I deserved, and it's more than I could ever imagine. But I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. That's how I look at my life. My latter days will be greater than my former days, period. No argument, end of discussion. I'm just taking it at face value, okay? So here's where this is gonna start. Here's where the first point is. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away, dead, gone, cut out of your life. Old, write these points down. Old things are passed away. The second one is all things have become new. You're like, it doesn't look new. It doesn't feel new. Those are facts. The truth is all things have become new. The next one is all things are of God. Now, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, everybody say now. Now, all things are of God. Man, this is amazing. But it doesn't stop here. Man, the next one is God has reconciled us to himself. Let me tell you what God did. God joined our lives. God has reconciled us to him. Man, this is what's amazing. Otherwise, see, if this weren't so, here's what would have happened. You would have said, God, forgive me of my sin. I give you my life. I make Jesus Lord of my life. Your body would crumple and your spirit would go to heaven. That's what would have happened if God hadn't have made it this order. And it's through Jesus Christ. Now listen, when you'll hear in the word where the Bible refers to Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, and it feels pretty random. It's not. Anytime in the word that you see the order of his name being Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. When you hear Christ Jesus, the action is God to man. And here, the Bible says this. Now listen, hang on to your hair hats, because this is awesome. He's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The action is man to God. He's joined into us now. He's joined into our lives now. And the fifth one is it's supernaturally powerful. And he's reconciled us to himself, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, we're looking, we're going, oh my gosh, God, when are you gonna do this? God, when are you gonna turn my family around? I have thoroughly equipped you and given you opportunity. All you've gotta do is seize that opportunity, and your family will turn on a dime, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I'm just telling you, he has reconciled us to himself. I'm reconciled. The burden of guilt's gone. My shame, it doesn't have root in me anymore. I got to pick it up and carry it around every day that I want it. But you know what? He's given me the ministry of reconciliation, because there's people out here in this world that he's accounted unto us to win to him. The action's man to God. See, and we have to look at this, and you might say, well, you know, pastors, it's just about numbers. Yes, it is. I'm not going to apologize, because those numbers are people. And those people have stories. Man, I heard Reinhard Bonnke, who's led 75 million people to the Lord in Africa since 1986. And he turned to us and he said, and I don't even know about before 1986. We didn't count. 75 million Africans, a German man led to the Lord. 75 million. Oh my gosh. It's like, oh my gosh, that's strong. You know what? We'd say, oh, amen, amen, that's strong. We get all churchy. But when you hear his story, he's the youngest in his family, 6 children. No one ever paid attention to him or cared about him. He's got an older brother who's a doctor, an older brother who's a scientist, an older brother who's a professor. He went into ministry. He didn't realize it until when he went to Africa the first time in the 70s. His mother said, this is a child I never wanted, and now he's a man of God. And he said, it dawned on him, no one ever wanted me. You start hearing that story in him, it makes his ministry so much more incredible. Man, if I had the time and I could tell you my story, it makes this all the more incredible, because I'm a witness of the life-saving, life-changing, life-giving blood of Jesus. That's all I got. That's all I have. But you know what? Everything we do now, this is the last service of the era that we have been in as a church. Next week, we're adding services to the schedule. Now listen, with the guest in mind, and let me define guest to you. It's those people you're believing God for. That family member, that friend, that coach, that neighbor, that boss, whomever, who you're believing God for. There might be people you have harmed or who have harmed you, and God's put them on your heart. Everything we do is with them in mind now. Man, I'm telling you, we've got to win people that don't know Jesus. Then we have to disciple them. Then we have to train up emerging leaders, because it's in our future. God's called us to plant churches. I know it. I don't know that I can facilitate it. I just know that I'm to be a part of it. But guess what? There's purpose in your life, because God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. And if you'll say, well, what is that? That's it. There's no ministry outside the ministry of reconciliation. We need God. People need God. We have to connect people with that source, with who God is. That's what the whole thing's about. You say, well, is it just about me inviting people to church? No. It's about you trusting God for people. Everything we do, how we park people, how we greet people, how we seat people, how we sing to people, how we preach, how we minister, everything we do is with the guest in mind. No secret codes, no foreign languages, just simple, easy church. Come on in. God loves you. Come on in. Jesus gave his life for you. Come on in. God has reconciled you to himself. Come on in. God has given you purpose. It's all about purpose. It's time to activate. It's time for you to take who you are and plug your life into the source of the kingdom of God.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.